How many of you have ever heard of the movie The Night of the Living Dead? You know, I've never seen it. I might have seen little clips of it here and there, but I read the plot. I don't think there's anything good in that movie. They just eat each other and die and come alive and kill each other again. And, you know, usually there's something conclusive, and it seems like, from what I read in Wikipedia, it never does get good. They just keep eating each other right till the very end and killing each other and all of that. But I've been pondering this week. Friday was Halloween. And I was thinking about death and life. You know, it's amazing in our culture that we dedicate a special day every year to celebrating dead stuff, dead things, creepy stuff, right? And we celebrate that. Why? I don't have any idea. But it's the world's obsession. You know that the world is obsessed with dark and dead things. And let me read you a scripture if you want to follow along this morning in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" So the Bible does not shy away from this subject of life and death and comparison. But here's the problem. The world is focused on death. Let me just read you some statistics. If you don't think there's a fascination, listen to these statistics on that movie. Again, that movie is about people that die, but they don't die. They come alive, and they try to eat the people that are alive and make them dead. And it just goes on and on. It says, "The Night of the Living Dead premiered in Pittsburgh on October 1st, 1968. It grossed, now listen to these numbers for 1968, so you can just guess what they would be today. It grossed U.S. $12 million domestically and $18 million internationally, earning more than 250 times its budget and making it one of the most profitable film productions of all time. Released shortly before the adoption of the Motion Picture Association of America rating system, the film's explicit violence and gore were considered groundbreaking, leading to controversy and negative reviews. It eventually garnered a cult following and critical acclaim and has appeared on the list of the greatest and most influential films." It tells you something about America, don't it? And the world, because it was just all over the world. "By such outlets as Empire, The New York Times, and Total Film. Frequently identified as a touchstone in the development of the horror genre, retrospective scholarly analysis has focused on its reflection of the social and cultural changes in the United States during the 1960s, with particular attention towards the casting of Jones, an African-American, in the leading role. In 1999, the film was deemed culturally, historically, or aesthetically at the top." So, let me just say today that there is something in our nature. The Bible says that we're dead, but we are determined to live. That's what that movie's all about. It's about dead people walking. And so in the world that we live, we want to be alive. You know that it's natural to want to be alive. You know, when that baby is born, that baby wants to scream. That baby wants to cry. There's something in us. God is a God of life. We were made in the image of God. The first thing he did to Adam was he breathed life into him, right? Life. And so everything about God is filled with life. But everything in the natural and everything about Satan and everything about sin has to do with death. So here's the problem that we have today. Many people are trying to feel alive. You ever heard the term, "Well, it made me feel alive"? You know, I went skydiving and for I felt alive. You know, I drove my car 200 miles an hour and I felt alive for a few minutes. And it even goes into darker. Well, you know, I know it was wrong, but I just had to feel alive again. So I did this immoral thing, and it made me feel alive. Dangerous, risky behavior many times. But here's the problem. We mistake a moment of adrenaline rush and euphoric feeling for life. The life that God gives is much more than an adrenaline rush. It's much more than a few minutes. It's something that goes much deeper. It is what we crave. We crave life, the life of God. We were made to be alive. We were made to walk with life. And if you go back to the Garden of Eden, before death was introduced to us, there was life. They were doing things. They were growing things. They were fellowshipping with God. Adam and Eve, there was something wonderful in that scenario. Every day, the Lord would come down, and he would share with them, and they would interact with God, and it was something they looked forward to. But it says in Genesis 2:16, God commanded the man, "You can eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it." This is the Message translation. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead. The moment that we sin, the moment that the moment we go in that direction, we're dead. Something died in us. And you know what the sad thing is we can blame it on Adam and Eve. But we've all sinned again times 10,000. So this death comes, but something in me, we were made in the image of God. It doesn't feel right. People that love death, there's something wrong. People that want to be around death, there's something wrong. In fact, death goes against us because we were made in the image of God. And when the Bible talks about death, I've heard people say, well, you know, Adam and Eve didn't fall over at that moment. No, they didn't. Nevertheless, they died. There were two parts to their death. First of all, they died spiritually. There was a spiritual death. The minute they sinned, God came down, and it says, when they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden. They hid from God. Remember, before they walked with God, before they had spiritual life, this was the most invigorating part of their day. Now they're running. They're hiding. You know, sin makes you ashamed. And it says, and God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree I told you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it." And God said to the woman, what is this that you have done?" Of course, she blames the snake, and it goes on and on. How many of those sins are always a blame game? But here's the thing. There is spiritual death. When you are living in sin and you are broken, you are not spiritually alive. You are spiritually dead. From the moment that they ate that, even before God showed up on the scene, there was a spiritual brokenness that came. There was something that was severed. There are all kinds of people that claim to know God today, and they might be into this kind of spiritualism. They might do that, but I'm telling you, they are dead. The Bible says they are dead in trespasses and sin. So there was a spiritual death. But it was more than that. And we hate this just as much. Well, we not quite as much, because that death is going to put you into hell. Now, this death is going to make you old. And right from the beginning, the moment, and how many realize there was no aging process in the garden? How would you like to be 100 and look like you're 16 or 18 or 22? They didn't, because there was no aging. And if you know what? Every one of us, there is something. If you don't believe we hate death, then why do you spend so much time getting ready for this morning? Why did you try to put that cream on last night to get rid of those wrinkles, those commercials that lie to you all the time, right? Why did Michael Jackson look like he did when he died? Because he fixed and fixed and fixed, and it only made him worse, right? I'm telling you that we begin to fight against this death process. The Bible says we die spiritually, but we also die physically. And you're getting old. Your body. You know, it's a curious thing to me, because I read something a week or two ago, And like every 10 years, all of your bones are completely replaced. And for your blood, it's even less. It's like 4 years. Blood every four months. Every 4 months, your blood is completely replaced. Every 10 years, your bone. And so think about that. If every 10 years my bones are replaced, well, if I had a bad knee, why isn't it gone in 10 years? I can't figure that out. I don't understand all of that. But it doesn't stop the aging process, does it? It doesn't fix it. So that death that you are experiencing and that I am experiencing is twofold. I am broken spiritually. I am away from God. I am dead spiritually. And then the physical death eventually comes down. And it says in Hebrews 9:27, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment. Without Christ, all you have to look forward to is that ultimate time when your body's going to be so old it's going to die, and then you face the judgment of God. So it's none of that's good. That's why Jesus had to come. And so it's just a crazy thing as you think about this, that Jesus provided. You know, the Bible says that he took the sting of death. We're going to die still, as the world puts it. But the Bible says there's no sting in death. I was reading, I can't remember who it was, just recently. And their testimony, that just before they went into eternity, they said, there's no sting. And they were gone. And that's what the Bible says. There's no sting. You know what? When you step across the line as a Christian, you step into eternity, there's no sting. I know it's just a bit scary to us because we've never been there before. We've never gone through that. But the Bible says that you're not going to die. There is no death. He did away with death for the believer, for the person that's given their life to Christ. But that spiritual death, for most of the people in the world today, they're zombies. They're dead people trying to live. They're people trying to fight off something that they know by their very inner man that it's destructive. Romans 5:12, when Adam sins, sin entered the world. And out of sin brought death. So death spread, for everyone sinned. So they're spreading death. No wonder they have a day where they celebrate those things. But we do everything we can to make ourselves feel alive. Some of you here today, even this week, you've done things. And why do people get stoned and get high? Because for a few short minutes, you feel like you beat death. You get this adrenaline rush. You get this high, and then you're back down to the reality, which is you start dying again. Or you have a relationship, and you're infatuated with somebody, and so you're all caught up in this relationship. But I'm going to tell you, no relationship will ever give you life like Jesus will. It can be good. They have their place. But I'm telling you, the only relationship that brings eternal life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So you're looking. So the world, even some here today, you're looking for something to make you feel alive. I just wanted to feel alive. Well, at least I felt alive for a few minutes. And yet, we're dead. And it's so crazy because God made a way that we can have the life we crave. We can have it. But the wages of sin is always death. You know, the world hates that word, sin. I'm gonna bring that word up because sin is your enemy. Sin produces something in you. And until you deal with that sin word, you can't have. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. You can't get to the eternal life part till you deal with the sin part. Because Ephesians 2 says that you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Listen to this out of the message. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that world, stagnant life of sin, that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief, and you exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us. Doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it. All of us are in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy, and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives, and he made us alive in Christ. He did all of this on his own, with no help from us. And then he picked us up, and he set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. And we realize that it's not so hard to have real life. It's a free gift. But there's this lie. So the devil has everybody working overtime to try to be alive, to try to feel alive, to try to prove that they're alive. I see all the time, it's like, they picture people. I saw a deal this week. I can't think which one it was. One of the original Charlie's Angels. And she's 80 years old. And they showed this picture of her. And honestly, she didn't look like she was 50 years old. I don't know what cream she's using, but maybe we ought to find out, huh? No, but the thing is, it doesn't matter. She's not going to be deaf any more than you. She's not going to be there. But there's something in us. See, Jesus, let me show you why I believe that. Jesus' mission statement is this. John 10:10. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the devil. He steals your life. He steals your physical health. He steals your eternity. He says, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. How many would like a rich and satisfying life? I love that terminology there in the New Living Translation. My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. The message says that more and better life than they ever dreamed of. So Jesus understands your need to be alive. So he said, I'm going to do something about that. He knows the craving of man. He knows our need to have not only eternal life, but he wants to give you life right now. How many of God's a now God? He's a now God. It's not all for the future. You can be alive today. You know, when I first got saved, man, it was so amazing that I just felt almost like I was floating. Now, I just felt something that lifted me up. I mean, I felt like I was young, but I felt like a backpack came off my back. And the Bible says we get abundant life. That word abundant basically means over the top life. How many would like to live over the top life? That is God's plan. God's plan. Now, if you are not living in that abundant life today, I don't bring condemnation. God wants to get you there. God wants to bring you there. He wants, and then when that abundant life, it deals with two things. It deals with the quantity, okay? So abundant life deals with how long is it? Forever. If he says it's life, it's everlasting. What does everlasting mean? Everlasting. It goes on and on and on. You know, I had a person once tell me that they didn't believe that, they believe when if somebody goes to hell, they just burn up and that's it. And I said, why then does the Bible say that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever? Forever and ever means exactly what it says. But so does everlasting life, right? Hell is forever and ever. Once you get there, you never get now. You don't get a redo. You don't get a second chance. You don't get to go and try to make it right and figure it out in the second run, like reincarnation tries to tell you. Doesn't happen. The Bible says it's appointed that once to die, and after that, the judgment. But eternal life is forever too. I don't want to go to heaven for a few years and say, okay, now you got to go down and do this all over again. God help us, right? Even if I didn't know Jesus, I don't think I'd go for reincarnation. And we want to go through high school pimples all over again. Peer pressure. Broken hearts, broken lives, broken dreams, all those things. Yeah, there's some good in there, but I'm telling you, this world's full of brokenness. And the Bible, John 3:16 says that we will not perish, but we'll have everlasting life. So it deals with the quantity, which is important. But it also deals with the quality. See, when we anchor our lives in Jesus, our quality of life changes dramatically. And we want good quality of life. What are we talking about? What is the difference of the life of a genuine Christian and the life of a non-Christian?
I can tell you one of the first ones that I began to experience, there's a lot of things, but it's just perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Perfect peace. The devil comes, he tries to trouble, and God says, no, I've got you. How many glad God says, I've got you? You may have struggled with that. I've got you. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Can I tell you, the world does not have perfect peace. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. There's a lot of Christians that don't have perfect peace as well because the devil has stolen something and moved them. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So what is the fruit of the quality of the life that we live? Galatians 5:19. So here's the truth, church. When we get saved, the Bible says the thing to be, the Spirit of God comes in us. Now, I believe that there's an initial infilling of the Spirit, but then there's even a greater experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in the second chapter back. They were all saved, but yet on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. They spoke in other tongues. There were flames of fire on them. There was a rushing, roaring wind that came in that place. But something happened that empowered them to really live life well and to live life for God. So there comes... the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, if the Holy Spirit is in you, does it make a difference? Think about that. If you have the Holy Spirit, does it make a difference? Well, this is who the Holy Spirit is. This is what he does. Galatians 5:19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So this is what you're going to do naturally. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery or witchcraft, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, the Apostle Paul's being straight with the church in Galatia. He says, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he goes on, this is what you get when you really know Jesus. Because you have the Holy Spirit, and this is his nature. How many want the nature of the Holy Spirit working? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. How many love is a hunger in all of us? Joy. Joy is further than happiness. It's something much deeper. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. That's what begins to work in our life. How many of those are good things? All of those, that list. If love is flowing out of you and you're living that way, isn't that a good thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't kindness a good thing? Isn't goodness a good thing? Faithfulness, gentleness? So what happens is that abundant life is in quantity and it's quality. Now, as Christians, let me just talk to you as Christians for a minute. We are no longer the living dead. The world is full of the living dead. They are dead, and they are trying to find life. And they are doing all kinds of things to try to be alive, feel alive, act alive. But we are not the living dead. We're no longer trying to get back to what was lost because Jesus has done something for us. And we get saved, and we get a new life. And he says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. I love that scripture. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. What joy, or whose sins are put out of sight. How many kinds of sins are put out of sight? Never to be brought up. I was reading this morning. You want a really good read this afternoon? Just go read Psalms 116. Oh my goodness. It will just make you rejoice. He says, yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. So, the world could have this, and all you have to do is humbly accept what Jesus did on the cross, and you can have new life. The life don't come from this church. The life doesn't come from a preacher or a priest or anybody else. The life comes from Jesus Christ. He's the one that went to the cross. And so Don't come up with your own plan today. Don't try to, you know, everybody, well, I'm going to try to be a good person and somehow I'm going to feel better. You'll never be the kind of person that God intends you to. You need the life that Jesus gives. And get this, it comes without cost. It's a free gift. You don't work up to it or work into it. Yes, it produces a fruit that you walk out afterwards, but you get saved by grace alone. Now the penalty's paid for what the penalty for the abundant life that God has. It's permanent. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, say yet God. We've all sinned and we've fallen short. We're in this place. Yet God. If this yet God, we would still be back there. We've all sinned and we're in trouble. He says, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He declares that you're righteous if you received him today. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. Remember, the penalty is death. So you're free. You're free from death. You're not going to die. And you're going to live a life that has abundance and vibrancy too. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. So here's the question. What are you experiencing right now? What did you experience this week? Are you experiencing abundant life? Are you still dead? Are you still in turmoil and going down that dark trail? Influenced by the world? Or have you reached the yet God? See, at the cross, there was a great exchange. Brian gave me a really wonderful little book on the grace of God. I love that book. It's been a blessing. And at the end of that book, he covers seven exchanges. See, God says, if you'll give me this, I'll give you this. And let me tell you what he gives us is so much better. He says, if you'll give me your dad, I'll give you my eternal life. There's an exchange. It's permanent. It's for real. It's for now, it's for tomorrow, and it's for eternity. There's an exchange. So you've got to make a decision. What are you experiencing? If you are experiencing death today, you're going to have to make an exchange. What a wonderful exchange. He says that now, in 2 Corinthians 6, it's for now. Now is the accepted time. And as you make that exchange, let me challenge you in something as we move forward. I've been saved long enough. I've been around church people my whole life. And I've seen some Christians that just bubble with life, even when they're struggling through some challenges. I've watched people, I've watched people over the years that demonstrated that life, and they might have been going through all kinds of things. One of the ladies that just so affected Robin and I years ago when we were pastoring in Mesa, Arizona, there was a lady in the church, her name was Donna Romine, we called her Mama Romine. And this lady had such a sweet spirit. There was just something in her, but she had an inherited lung disease that she battled with. And just to go to church would take her like 3 hours. She had to do these breathing treatments. She would come, and of course we're in Phoenix, Arizona, it's hotter than you know what down there, and it would get hot, and she would come in, and she would sit there, and eventually it would get so hot, she would get sick sometimes. And she'd go out and sit in her car until she could pull it back together. There was something, but I watched the life of God. You know, it's amazing. Donna's really healthy today because she's in heaven. She's got good lungs. But she had life. And when you would hear Donna rolling, the life just came out of her. It was just something that was in her because she had life. But then there's others that I've watched over the years. I've seen Christians and just filled with, you know, the devil tries to get back in there. Just because you got saved don't mean you're not going to face some battles. How many of you have ever met a cranky Christian? I know that don't sound right. Cranky and Christian don't go together. But have you ever been cranky? All right. Are you still saved? You still want to go to heaven? All right. Now we gotta find out how to let God bring that abundant life. Because the Lord is not cranky. He's not critical. His spirit is not that way. Here's the key. The Bible says that Jesus is the tree, right? He's the vine. What are you? You're the branch, right? Now, the more connected to the vine that the branch is, the more sap flows into the branch. The more alive it is. Have you ever seen a branch that maybe it got barked? You know what being barked is? Barked is when part of the bark is eaten off. We have these aspen trees and those deer come in there and rub their horns on them and they bark those trees. And so you'll see that maybe that side of the tree doesn't do so good anymore. Why? Because the connection's been broken. You know why Christians don't do good? Because their connection's gotten weak. Doesn't mean they're chopped off and thrown away, but you know what? There's not much God showing in their lives. There's not much sap. Why? Well, because God's failed? No, because the connection's gotten weak. Do you know your connection can get weak? The more connected that the branch is to the vine, the more abundant life flows. And you know what? Winter comes. You know what's amazing? The dead of winter comes. And it's cold. But you know what winter does to trees? It just pushes more sap into them. That's the truth. That's how fruit trees, the sap, it gets out into the limbs that produces the fruit. It's interesting. It may be cold and you may be experiencing some adverse conditions, but for the Christian that's well connected to the vine, it just pushes more of God into you. More life comes out. Some people, you see them go through things and it's just like more life. Donna Romine, it didn't matter how the devil had attacked her, there was more life that came out of her. And you say, can it go the other direction? It can. There are some people who lose that. And they reach a place where they have lost something. There was a man in the Bible named Demas, and Paul says, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me, but because he loves the things of this life. Something had happened to Demas, and the life was gone out of him. And somehow the devil had tempted him back in, and you know the Bible, this is what the Bible says in Jude 1:12. He talks about people that are twice dead. It's an interesting thought. People that are, he says, they are twice dead. So they were once dead in their original sin. They get saved. They serve God, but then they begin to fall away. When you know, I came across it, it says, his love for worldly things became greater than his love for God, leading him to return to a life of sin and darkness instead of continuing ministry. You don't want to go back, church, Christian. You don't want to go back. It's just as dead as it was originally. It's just as empty as it ever was. But Demas did that. And Jesus is our life connection. He says it wasn't, Ephesians 2:1 says, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life, yet you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. Do you know as Christians, if we're not careful, we begin to let the world tell us how to live. Just pursue money. Just pursue this thing. Just get involved in that thing. And pretty soon, all those things that never satisfied before still don't satisfy. And guess what? We begin to exude something. We need fresh sap, fresh connection. And I can tell you today that God wants to give it to you. He doesn't want one person to leave here dead. He wants no walking dead. Right? He wants no fakers. You know, what I read about that movie, so they don't realize that some of the people in them have died and now they're turning into that. Amen? We don't want that in the church. Amen? We don't want zombies in the church. We want people that have real life down inside. Does it mean you're perfect? No. But it means that God's in you. He's working. He's bringing forth a life. How many would be willing just to say, God, I need fresh life? And Again, it has to do with their connection. What connection? Do you know His Word connects you to Him? He is His Word. Do you know that prayer will begin to connect you to Him? Do you know that getting in the presence of God, you know, as I was worshiping today and just singing those songs, and I was just listening to people's voices, seeing that, to me, there's just such life in that. When you worship God, how do you know it's alive if you're sincere? There's something. That's why you need church. You might be at home and say, I'm just going to stay home. Don't do that. You'll just stay home and feel bad. Come to church and get your hands up and worship God. And you know what? Where the presence of the Lord is, there's life. There's power. I guarantee you God will begin to do something. He has such a mercy. If you'll pray. Again, I challenge you this afternoon. I'm not going to read for the sake of time. But Psalms 116. Read at least 1 through 9. It's powerful. David said, I was facing death and He saved me. Paul said at one point, I had the sentence of death, but God brought Him out of it. You ever felt the sentence of death? Doesn't mean something won't come against you, but He has life for you. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will work in you. That's a strong Spirit, right? So I don't know if He can do that. Well, if He can bring Jesus out of that tomb, He can make you alive again. If you've been struggling, if you begin to take on the death of the world again, here's the important thing. Recognize it. Just get honest about it. See, I've started to go back to the old way. You know, by our natural carnal man. How many know when you get saved, your carnal man is still there? And he comes, and he wants what he wants, and he wants things that bring death. And he knows it brings death, but he doesn't care. He just wants what he wants. You know how I know that? Do you ever overeat? Your body just wants. One donut is never enough. Two is okay, three is better. And then death sets in, right? And then you feel it. And then you're thinking, and you're saying, I wish I hadn't done that. You know what? You listen to the wrong thing. You listen to your body. You listen to your carnal man. And in Christ, you know what? The more you fellowship with God, the less voice and impact your carnal man has on you. You say, oh, no, no, no. Don't take me down that road. The devil says, this will make you happy. But no, 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 no. I know better than that devil. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to listen to that voice. That old death way of living, that old death attitude. No, I'm not going to live there. I didn't get saved to not have abundant life. I want the abundant life. Let's bow our heads today.